Hello and welcome to Jaguars.com. We're looking at the top 25 players in the Jaguars' 17 NFL seasons. What we did was we grabbed a bunch of guys who've been around and covered this team for a while, and we all put our lists in, and it was compiled by Osher, and you got to wonder now if Osher didn't move some things around here and there. No, no, there's all kinds of credibility involved in it, including these two gentlemen who are here. Vito Stellino, the Jaguars beat writer who's covered the National Football League since 1963.
I was born that year.
Well, then you can go
talk. I love being younger, much younger than somebody.
And though he's got gray hair, significantly younger, Dan Hicken, who has been around since the Jaguars were awarded. So let's start 21 through 25. Okay. And in order, number 25, Paul Spicer. Number 24, fullback Greg Jones. Number 23, David Garrard. Number 22, Mike Hollis, who holds the Jaguars' point record for his career, but it will probably be broken this year by number 21, Josh Scobie. So right out of the gate, people are going to go, wait, two kickers in the top 25?
Yeah.
What's the problem here?
But two important kickers, right? I mean, two really good kickers, and I don't like kickers. You know, I told Scobie, get to work. What are you doing? But you know what? They've been so vital, and you can think back to so many great kicks. I mean, Mike Hollis during the playoff run, you remember in 96, was so clutch.
The one in Buffalo,
windy, and yeah, just
off the goalpost.
And Scobie with his 50-plus yard kick. So, I mean, you know, they deserve to be there, I believe.
My thing is, though, I ranked Hollis above Scobie. Because Hollis been in the Pro Bowl, part of teams that did more than he did. I haven't really researched it, but I think he might have made more clutch field goals, too.
Hollis made some of the most memorable kicks, obviously, and you're going back to that season. You know, if you remember, they started that seven-game run in Baltimore, and he hit the upright in Baltimore in overtime.
Right.
I was at that. You were covering the Ravens back then. Right. And then in Buffalo in that playoff game, he clanked it, and it went in.
It went in. What if it had gone out, though? He wouldn't be on the list.
Yeah. but those were two kicks, and I can remember the moment, you know, and seeing that ball fall through. So, yeah, Mike Hollis had – and also, by the way, in that run – in that 96 run, he hit five field goals on a rainy day here against Cincinnati that helped extend it when the Jaguars couldn't score. Of course, the Bengals couldn't.
Is that the tropical storm game?
Yes.
Okay. That's the one where Baselli was mad at the fans.
Yeah,
nice job, Tone.
You're still number one on Hicken's list.
That's why I just think Hollis should be above Scobie.
Okay.
I mean, Scobie has time to pass him.
Right.
You know, his career's got a long ways to go. He's young for a kicker at 30. But right now, I mean, it's not a huge difference, but I'd put him one reverse the order.
And Scobie's coming off two pretty good years, right? I mean, last year is really good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What, he missed two field goals last year?
And if Scobie gets to a Pro Bowl here or there, then that starts to change the dynamic. And if he makes a couple of those clutch kicks in the playoffs, and of course in his time here, he hadn't played in many playoff games.
Too much time spent on the kickers, Brian.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but they're in the primo roles here.
In this era,
I know you're right.
It's
the punters I'll go after next.
And especially now, you have to give Scobie the leg in this era now where he's putting the ball in the end zone all the time. So. Really, they don't have to work a lot on kick coverage because how often do they return kicks?
You got a big leg like that. It was down 26-27% last year.
But Scobie maybe deserves to be ahead of Hollis because he's a much better golfer. So that would give him the edge. Will you consider that?
No, if he was a better tennis player now, Vito might give him the edge. So, all right, you know, we can talk about Paul Spicer. It makes sense here. Here was a guy who arrived in October of 2000 from, you know, Saskatchewan, you know, Saginaw Valley State. And I remember the Cowboys game, that first game he played, and he came in, had a sack, forced fumble that helped set up overtime that the Jaguars, you know, won that ball game during a struggling season. And Greg Jones, one of the best blocking fullbacks of this era, in an era where the blocking fullback is going away. So let's deal with number 23, David Garrard. Right, draft choice, second day back in 2002, was thought to be the replacement to Brunell. In comes Leftwich. Garrard has to kind of languish a little bit. Put some perspective on where David fits in this career.
Well, I had him lower than this, you know, because I don't think he performed well enough in some of the big games. You know, the quarterback is the quarterback era. The quarterback has to take the player, the team on their back, and I don't think he did that enough. I mean, he was a serviceable quarterback, had a very good 07 season.
Sure.
But I had him way down at 33.
When he did take them on his back, it was running, not throwing.
Right.
That's true.
And his most memorable play, really as a run, right? The scramble against Pittsburgh in the playoff game would be his most memorable play that gave the Jaguars. Now, look, there's no denying he had a great year that year. Yeah. And this is unfair because it happens to every quarterback, but if you go back and look at that season, there are a lot of passes into the opposition's hands that for some reason that year got dropped. So he ended up with, what, like three picks?
Yeah, 18 touchdowns, yeah. Three interceptions. Yeah. And here's the – when you look at that year in particular, the defense was at its very best. Of course, it was the last year because they fell off. They were old. But you had Fred and Maurice that were running in tandem.
Oh, so good.
So the defense was off the field. They were rested. They could come on and they could play at a high level. And all David had to do was manage the game. And he did that.
But he did it.
Yeah.
He did do it.
And his big run against Pittsburgh should have been a penalty on the
Barnes holding. Let it go, Vito.
I mean, it was
a huge win.
It was blatant holding, too. It wasn't, I mean, it's like,
So we're going to have some fun with this. We're going to have some fun with this as we get ready for the start of training camp. And we appreciate you gentlemen joining us. And we'll see you again over the course of our Top 25 here on Jaguars.com.